Hello, beautiful friends. What an incredible journey we've just been on for the last 10 days. And my heart is just wide open. I'm so deeply grateful to share all of this with you. And it really has been like a deeper call that's brought me into this. And I felt like it would be a really wonderful way to close, to have an interview with me so I could share a little bit of what moved me into this, because I feel like there's a lot of deep inspiration inside of me that I want to share with you, with the world, with all of us. This whole summit has been an expression of that, but I thought it would be really wonderful for us to sort of dive in on that level. And I also received some really wonderful, loving emails from many of you actually asking for this. So I thought I would absolutely go for it. And I couldn't think of anyone better than my dear, beautiful soul sister, Shirley Joy Weiss, one of our incredible speakers, to jump in and hold space for me. So Shirley, thank you for doing this.
I couldn't think of anyone else I would want to interview more, you know, because I mean, not only the depths of your wisdom, but how deeply you have really taken the time to integrate everything you speak. I mean, you walk your talk on such a deep level. And to me, that's the most powerful wisdom. Wisdom that comes not from a book, but because you've seen it, you've held it, you've experienced it yourself. And when that kind of teacher talks, you don't even have to be eloquent. It's moving, it's amazing, it's impactful. And that's the kind of teacher I know you to be. So I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you, sweetheart. And on that beautiful blessing, I'll turn it over to you to guide the way.
And I'll say it again, you know, I'm just so excited to put the spotlight on you. And also because, you know, this summit, it's almost like the culmination of your work. It speaks to almost every step you have taken along your journey. And I have had the privilege of knowing you for many years. So I've seen a lot of these steps, and I've seen a lot, not only the steps that have made you who you are, that inform your work, but the parts of you that make you so bold in your actions to really make it not about you, but go out in the world and do such good things. And I've gotten to witness some of the most tremendous offerings that you've created. And I want the audience, listeners, to get a peek into your world, because your world, your story, it's a message in and of itself. And you know, there's this beautiful bio that kind of speaks to you that I'm curious to get into. There's some funny words in there, but the scope of your work and what you've done is so awe-inspiring, and you are no different than anyone else, really. And so I really am excited to bring your story through, because it's going to be very important for everyone to hear as well.
Thank you. Can't think of anyone better to hold that space, Shirley. Yes. Because of our intimate sisterhood and our deep love for each other, and the fact that you have been with me for so many years, and what mirrors we are for each other as well. So yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. You know what? Let's actually begin. You have a bio, and I think it is in your honor to start reading that, because again, it's going to give people a glimpse, and I want everyone to really hear these words, to hear what this woman has done. And so in her bio, she says, Val is a paradigm hacker. She's curious to know what that's about. A board certified psychosynthesis coach and a deep ecologist with a passion. And I mean, this woman has a passion for this, for social and ecological activism, consciousness, and cosmology, and in sacred service and through production and facilitation of transformational festivals, retreats, workshops, along with individual and group guiding, which you've done so much of. She works with change makers who are ready to dive into the deepest work of rewilding our lives, embracing psycho-spiritual wholeness, and creating a powerful, positive impact on our world. And this is not just a few really well-crafted worlds. This is This is literally what you do every day. And it's amazing. So I want to like pick apart some of that because there's so much in there. Let's start with paradigm hacker. What does that mean?
Yeah. That's where we need to start. Because really, I think at the heart of it all,
yeah,
comes down to this. So a paradigm is our worldview. You know, the way that we see the world around us and our relationship to life, the things that we take for granted as absolutely true, you know, our belief system. And that forms from childhood, you know, and it moves in us and through us through our entire lives. And the choices we make and the thoughts we think and the stories we tell about ourselves all come from this inner core belief system, this paradigm that we hold. So there's like, you know, there's different levels to that. But as a paradigm hacker, it's really just a fun term that I like to throw around and play with because it does invite the question, which is what it's all about. I hold space to invite us to ask those deeper questions about who we are, about what we think we know to be absolutely true. And that includes what's happening in our world as well as what's happening in our inner world, right? The stories that we tell about ourselves, what we call limiting beliefs, right? Our belief system that says I'm this or I'm that, or, you know, how am I showing up? So it invites us to ask those deeper questions. It's really about deep inquiry, self and collective inquiry. You know, is it really true? Could something else be true? What's really happening in our world? You know, we throw around terms like I'm going to throw it away, but is there such a place called away? What does that really mean? You know, so it's really about asking the deeper questions, something that I think we need to live with every day. It's an ongoing conversation with ourselves, you know? And then we get to have that, we can extend that conversation out with others as well. So it's just continuing, like peeling away at the layers and layers and layers that have been put on us and that we put on ourselves over and over again. We get to hack it all apart and take a look at what's really true for us.
What a perfect word for hacker. Hack it all apart. Hack it all apart, because that really, that is what it's about, right? We, you know, one of the things, for those of you that may or not know, we really have been very close friends for a long time. And I remember me and her have had a conversation that has, like, it's been a thread that we've discussed a lot in my observations of her. I've always been amazed of how you just go, you have an idea, and it's always in service. You're always in this question, how can I serve? But you just go. And not only do you just go, you go big with it. And I think what you're speaking into in paradigm hacking is so important in today's time, because all of us, especially almost everyone listening to these interviews, we have a call to do something, to do something, to do something. But oftentimes what happens, a story comes up inside, right? Or something, some truth that makes the person think, I can't do this, or this is impossible, or this is not realistic, or no, we're already like too far gone into the deep end in the environment. So I just love this invitation, because really, might this not be the most important invitation to hack away any thought of impossibility and really question the limitations we're putting on ourselves and rest more and dance with the questions. Well, what can we create? And I think you have been such an example of this, of just not allowing any sense of limitation to stop you, even though you don't see the entire path you go. So I would love to hear you know, your take on this, what you're hearing this.
The first thing I want to speak to actually, Phil, is what you were just saying about living with the questions, you know, talking about like asking those deeper questions, you know, deepening the conversation. You know, the original invitation for the summit is for us to do that, to deepen the conversation. And especially with what's happening in our world right now, you know, we need to get deep. We need to be able to be engaged in conversation with ourselves and with others in a way that embraces compassion, deep listening, you know, and an openness to moving past our, I'm going to say those ideas that stick inside of us that we almost don't even realize we have. So just to start there, because the great invitation of this moment is for us to dive in deeper to who we are and how we're being invited to show up, you know. And we were talking earlier about how this summit has really been a reflection in so many ways about my journey. You know, when I thought about who am I inviting, my immediate thoughts go to like, everything that I've been so alive with and so passionate about, the things that have broken my heart open and allowed me to dive in deeper to who I am in the most holy way, holy and holy way, you know, to really recognize myself in that space. So like we launched the summit with Brian Swim, you know, Brian Swim, cosmologist Brian Swim has been a huge mentor for me way past a decade, you know, and because when I think about how are we showing up right now, how do we play big? You know, how do we ultimately show up in the deepest place of service? Where that stems from for me is recognizing that this is something so much bigger than me. You know, it's not just me bringing this, even though it is me bringing this. It's something else pushing through me, a deeper wisdom that wants to be heard, that I know that our world needs to experience right now. So when we start to understand ourselves in terms of the universe story, we get ourselves in the context of 13.7 billion years of evolution unfolding, of life learning, of deep wisdom being passed on, not only genetically in our DNA, but also culturally, how we do things like this summit and bring this kind of wisdom to so many people who then bring it to others. And on and on and on. So doing something like this becomes the greatest kind of service. And it's totally powered by my recognition that we are so much bigger than this. And that the greatest call for us right now is in recognizing that we have this unique gift of conscious self-reflection. Self-awareness. That's the great gift of the human species. And when we allow ourselves to tap into that and live in this ongoing conversation, right? We're constantly, you know, reflecting on ourselves, how we're showing up, if it's in alignment with who we truly are and what we want in our lives, right? If it's in alignment with the greater vision, the greater story of who and what we are, right? When we are empowered in this way, we get to not just be pushed along, but actually make powerful choices to bring ourselves along in the most powerful way. You know, so like being in conscious self-reflection means I'm constantly reflecting upon myself and asking those questions and showing up. You know, and if something doesn't feel good, I'm asking why. And if I create a behavior and a habit of behavior or thought that doesn't feel right for me, or there are actions attached to that, you know, the behaviors that equal the thoughts, which equal the feelings, which motivate our behaviors, which become our habits, right? Because we kind of move through that process. When we start recognizing habits in ourselves that are not in alignment with this greater vision of ourselves as universe, you know, as this empowered being that can make these choices, we get to stop, reflect, and correct, and move forward. We get to create new stories, you know, that bring us into the next level of our being. And when we're each living in that space, we collectively create the greatest transformation. We move ourselves literally into the next level, a quantum leap in our consciousness, you know, tapping into a deeper awareness of what we are and who we are as universe. So all of this is what empowers me and moves me into these great projects where it's just an absolute, like, I have this idea and I can do it. It's totally possible because it's just something even bigger. When I get a hit that this needs to get done, you know, there's not a thought in my mind that says, can I really do this? Like, no, if it feels right and I'm resonating with that, I can't possibly not do it. Because being in service to the world means giving everything of myself so fully, so wholly, you know, it means diving into myself and doing the inner work so I can be my best, my greatest self, because that's what I want to give to the world in service. You know, it doesn't do the world or myself any good to shy down and say, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. You know, as soon as I start saying those words, I'm like not in service to the world anymore. You know, I'm hiding behind those limiting thoughts and ideas and stories and habits and all that stuff. You know, and even if it comes up, when we really start shifting our awareness of self into this greater paradigm, this greater world view, even cosmic view, let's say, you know, then we can, even with these fears and thoughts and ideas and habits, we can still take the steps necessary. We can just move with it, do the things we know we need to do until we really start feeling like, I can do this. Yeah. You know, it all starts somewhere. But that core, you know, it's really tapping into that core invitation. That's you know, something so much larger than our individual selves. So that's what has moved me in my life, you know, to create projects like the summit, you know, these great grand festivals, even like little workshops, even the first time I ever created anything ever. And I was like, I'm going to just do this. What's the worst that can happen? You know, just dive in, go. I don't even know how I'm doing it yet, but I'm just going to start calling some of my friends and let's get together and let's just, you know, start somewhere. You know, and when we start doing even the tiniest step, the first step, and we feel like, I can do this. Maybe I didn't do it perfectly, but I learned something from that. So now the next time I'm going to shift that and it'll be even better. Bam. So the more we start acting on it, even with our fears and our ideas that seem to hold us back, the more we start getting the feeling that I can do this. And when we start really embodying that feeling that this is actually possible, it starts to shift our belief system.
It
becomes this dance. It's just this dance. And we have to begin with a small step. We all began with a small step, you know, and it just grows and grows and grows until we are ultimately empowered by something so much larger than ourselves.
It's right? Becomes this like self-feeding mechanism.
It is.
About, and it feeds back to you and you're like, oh, wow. Okay. And then, and almost like a concentric circles, bigger and bigger each time. Now you're at a global stage. I mean, you've been at the global stage for quite a while now. But I love the seed. What I am sensing from what you're saying is the seed of this spiraling outward, which was the deeper conversation, the deeper question, which I love just kind of pausing on that for a second, because that was really the initial invitation of this summit. Let's come together in a deeper conversation and deeper question. And on a very practical level, what does that even mean? Well, if we're caught up in stories like, do I have what it takes? Do I know enough? I don't know if this is possible. Who am I to? Which we all have. That's the thing. It's a human fact to have these. We all have them. But that's not the deeper conversation, right? The deeper conversation I'm hearing from you is that you really did delve. Okay, that's me, but there's something else. And you, I mean, look at the bookshelf behind you, right? You, from a very young age, you started to ask a deeper question. And when you put your attention to that, the cosmology, the universe story, social justice, you know, animal justice, it involves you and penetrates you and really surrounds you with a bigger story. And then that naturally drives your behaviors, drives your actions. So it's really kind of, to me, that simple. If we put attention to this little story, that's going to drive a very different action than if we put attention to this story. And I see your life as that example. Someone that just chose to put deep attention and inquiry. What are we part of? What is this mystery? What's happening? And then that just fuels you and you are literally unstoppable. And you get these thoughts, but you come back to this bigger story. You come back to this why, and you just keep going. And it's been so beautiful to observe you throughout the years because it seems as if you never have any fear or doubt, but you're human too. But that's the power of these deeper questions and stories that you've been inviting us into.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, you know, it really began, all the books behind me, right? Like, you know, from a young child, I've always had this insatiable desire to learn about myself in the context of the world, to understand what's happening around me. You know, just, I've been, you know, a reader always diving in, you know, like the overachiever sub-personality, you know, just want to learn it all, want to know it all, you know, went to college forever because I just wanted to take every class and learn it all. Like, you know, things like that to the point that, you know, they're like, you take another class and we're going to have to charge you more. Literally, you know, it was that just like you, Shirley, you know, just like wanted to know it all, wanted to learn it all, wanted to live it all, you know, like traveling through the world, like experiencing cultures, like these things drive us. But I'll tell you, like, there was a point where there was a big, I want to say a heartbreak that happened in my life that really broke it open in a new way for me. And much like Andrew Harvey shared, actually, in my interview with him, which was around learning about other animals and how we treat them. You know, how do we show up in our society and treat other life forms. And this sort of human-centered idea, paradigm, you know, this anthropocentric idea that humans are in the center of everything and somehow we're disconnected from nature. And in my early 20s, it's like 2 decades ago, not to age myself, but yeah, you know, it was brought to my attention, like the slaughterhouses and the conditions of what's happening. And, you know, just like this, the way that we treat other life, you know, and my first reaction was defensive. Well, you know, we're part of the chain of everything I've been taught. We're part of the, you know, this is humans do this, and this is what we're supposed to do, and we're blah, 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 blah. And I thought, I heard myself repeating cliches that I had been conditioned to think. And in a big way, something didn't feel right for me. Like I heard myself saying the words, but I was like, but really, like, do I really believe that? Because I'm crying. Like, you know, something inside me is moving. Like, this is hurting me. It's actually physically hurting me to witness this. And I'll tell you what, like, all those years ago, I made a choice at that point, you know, like, I don't want to contribute to this. I went vegetarian. I went vegan. I, you know, started becoming a freaking activist, like big time, you know. And you know me, right away, I'm organizing demonstrations and, you know, created a documentary film, Lolita, Slave to Entertainment. You know, this is this documentary that my partner at the time and I created a company called Rattle the Cage Productions, still around, you know, and we broke open the story about Lolita, the orca at the Miami Sea Aquarium, you know, her life journey and how that relates to animals in captivity that we use for entertainment. And I was like, you know, I just focused right in. And right away moved into a leadership role in that context, you know, something that I had not really done before, but I felt so called because I felt so impassioned by this because I was just so like, it was like, what, how is this happening in our world? And that just led me on this journey to start asking deeper, deeper questions. Like, what is really happening in our world politically, environmentally? You know, I ended up getting a master's degree in ecology and education and then deep ecology. So like caring about other animals became caring really about the ecosystem of the earth and all living beings. And that just continued opening the door to cosmology and understanding ourselves and, you know, in evolutionary terms. So like, I feel like throughout my last 20 years, there's been this expansion of awareness of self through these kind of heartbreaks on what's happening to the world, the choices that we're making as humans, you know, and it brought me ultimately into how I need to show up in the world. But it all came from allowing my heart to break open and really feeling it and asking, why does this not feel good? Why does this not feel in alignment with what I've been conditioned to think? And then all I wanted to do was continue asking those questions. And that's an invitation for all of us. You know, in what ways in our lives do we not feel good? In what ways in our lives do we not resonate with the things that we're saying or the thoughts that we're thinking or the things that people are saying or even the world collectively may agree upon? You know, like at once upon a time, the world collectively agreed that slavery was a great idea and people didn't question it. And then they did. And then more and more people questioned it, right? And then there was a great, you know, clash, and then it moved into a new paradigm. So we're in that right now. You know, there's a huge amount of people that are dying literally to hold on to this old paradigm, this dead end of, as you know, Brian Swim was saying, it's a dead end. Evolutionarily speaking, we can't continue going this way. But wow, look at what's happening with with Trump coming into presidency. And there's this, you know, there is this kind of like mentality within this administration right now in the US that we are dying to support, you know, this idea of you know, financial gain and US as a business, you know, and this sort of like this paradigm. We're holding on so tight to this idea while there's this breaking open happening in the rest of the world that's saying, no, there's something so much deeper than this. You know, there is an invitation for compassion beyond the law of man. There is a law of life. And we need to start listening to what that says, which may totally clash with all the ideas and conditioned thoughts that we've been taught to believe. So, you know, there's just this unfolding right now that we're in.
Is the only way evolution happens. Otherwise, it's different versions of the same thing in different clothes, to go into that deeper place. and allow something new, something fresh to emerge. And what I really, I'm so moved with what you're sharing, because what I really heard is someone who had a deep broken heart about a horrific injustice. You allowed yourself to feel that pain and that sadness and that grief and that rage. You don't suppress it, but you also don't feel powerless around it, because you've never done anything like that before. Stand up for something. You were literally 20, whatever years old you were. You've never done anything. You don't go into a rage of powerlessness, a rage of victimhood, a rage of doom and gloom. You go in, you feel your rage, and that is your catalyst. This is why I always say your life story is a message in and of itself.
Because that rage, that anger, that frustration, that confusion, that all those emotions that are rising up become evidence of our interconnectedness with life. You know, when we're feeling beyond our individual bodies, like, you know, when we see an old growth forest torn down, like, I mean, I remember going on road trips when I was younger and seeing like the side of a mountain, like shaved bald is the best way I could describe it. And I was like, oh, ouch.
You're feeling the earth.
You're feeling beyond your body. And that becomes evidence that we are so deeply connected, that this is an total extension of ourselves. So that anger, that really is our passion for justice, what's right and good and holy in this world. And so rather than being paralyzed by it, we have to say, okay, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling so much right now. What can I do with this to move it into the world in this powerful, productive way? You know, how can I make an impact for good when I see this vision of what I know is right and it resonates with every cell in my body? I have to be part of this. What is my gift? Because that's the other part of the great question, right? Now I feel it. Now I'm like, what do I do? How can I be part of this? So now the question is, what is my gift? Can I uniquely contribute, even in the tiniest way, to this great turning?
Exactly. And you know, it's so beautiful to even just see your energy. It actually elicits for me, you know, the middle path, like Buddhism, the middle path, because just in your last 2 minutes of share, I see intense passion, drive to change, create. But I also see this person who was also self-aware enough to also recognize, oh, and then I come back and also in stillness ask deeper questions. Because, you know, if you get lost in one extreme, this is the more passive, receptive, okay, what am I here to do? And this is the more, you know, proactive, you know, directive. There's a beautiful middle path, and I see you so beautifully dancing in both, so that you don't get lost in rage, passion, but you use the energy of that passion to serve the wisdom that comes from your center, that knows connection, that knows possibility, that knows there's something here wanting to arise and emerge. And that's really beautiful.
Honey, I love that you're saying that, because it's reminding me how important it is for me to say this, which is, you know, starting off as in, I'm gonna say in animal rights activism, right? Which is such like this, you know, buzz thing. Like it evokes a lot of thoughts and feelings for people when they hear animal rights, right? Starting off in that space in my youth, you know, there were so many people around me that I would notice would come out like really angry. And I felt angry too, you know, but when I saw them yelling at people, how can you go this? How can you do this? How can you eat that? How can you go to the Miami Seaquarium? Like, I was like even that would hurt me too. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And again, going back to that inquiry, why is that not feel right for me? What I've learned over these last few decades, and this is why I do what I do now in a different way, is that it ultimately, when we talk about inviting us into a deeper conversation, it doesn't come from that feeling of anger. We have to go deeper. So we say, okay, it's this passion for justice. But where's that passion coming from? That passion is ultimately coming from our deep love for the world, our deep love for ourselves, and showing up with all that we have within us and living this full, rich life that we can say, how did I live? You know, wow, did I live in service? Wow, did I give everything I had to this moment, to my beloveds, to my friends, to this earth, to other animals, to life? Wow, did I live? Wow, did I show up? So it's about falling in love ultimately. And when we come from that space of love, deeply in love with life, then it shifts from, how can you do that? Do you know what's going on in the world? Which scares people away because we don't want to feel like we're wrong. That's not an invitation, right? That's a pointing fingers at ourselves, really, right? It's really at ourselves. And how did we think that for so long? But when we come from the space of love, it is this beautiful, loving, soft invitation to feel with our world, an invitation to feel deeply into what's good and right and honest and authentic, what's really here for ourselves. You know, it is an invitation with our love to invite others to fall in love. You know, and so when we say, like, you know, it's all about love, you know, it really is. And without sounding too, like, you know, new age or anything, but really bringing it down into this rooted, grounded space of, like, we're here. We are here. We've unfolded an evolution for 13.7 billion years. And we can't say that this intelligence in the universe has brought us here to be rich and consumers, and, like, the end goal is to have $1 billion in our account and a Gucci purse. Right? There's something so much larger going on here. The invitation is for us to know ourselves so deeply and to fall in love ultimately with life, and then to participate, to share what we have inside of us. And in that sharing, we become part of this cultural DNA, this movement, this evolution, this conscious evolution, you know, which is the evolution of our consciousness. You know, as we become more complexified and understand ourselves more deeply, we open to the consciousness of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's our ability to choose how we move forward consciously. So we are now evolving ourselves. How cool is that? Yeah. As the universe becoming aware of itself, we are consciously evolving ourselves now from this space of love.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's really the only way. And it isn't all woo, you know, and fluffy up in the clouds. And I always, what you're saying is reminding me of this metaphor that I always use that everyone is going to be able to connect with. And it's also the primary example of why you behave very differently in your life, because what we're holding inside drives our behaviors. It literally does. And, you know, if we're holding a small story, we're going to act in a certain way. We're going to hold a bigger story, we're going to act a certain, very different way. And the metaphor that I always love to bring, that I'm sure every listener has experienced, is just in our intimate relationships, right? Whether be it with your father or your husband, you know, we have so many intimate relationships. But say you get into a disagreement with that person, or that person does something that in your eyes is, like, wrong, right? If you approach a conversation with that person in rage, what are the chances that that person's going to be open, receptive, and it's going to result in a deepening of love and in solutions rising? I'm sure all of us have done it. We've all gone into a conversation, and it usually actually gets heated worse, right? Whereas if that's why they say the proverbial, go take a walk, right? So you feel the rage. It's not suppression of our feelings, but then, you know, like, and then if you can approach that same conversation from a place of understanding, which you said so much, and compassion and love, I'd love to hear you speak more to these principles, because there's so many people that are literally on fire right now in social media with the best of intentions, but have a lot of anger and judgment energy. But, you know, if we come to that conversation with love, compassion, understanding, rather than rage, blame, that person opens. Both of you connect in the heart space. And the heart space in a practical place is just like, oh, okay, we're two beings here together. Let's work together, right? So to really make it practical. So literally what we're holding inside drives our every word, our every action. And that is what either evolves or devolves relationships, planets, right? So I love that you're bringing it back to this. So can you really speak to this space? How can we find the space of understanding, compassion, love, with the powers that be right now and the current state of affairs, you know?
I love this question, Shirley. Thank you for bringing it, because I feel like it's a really important topic to dive into. And you know, the word that's coming up for me, so I just want to, let's let it flow. Let's see what wants to come through, is curiosity. So what does that really mean, right? I'm curious about why I think what I think. I'm curious where my passions come from. I'm curious about you, like truly, authentically curious. And when you have a different idea than me, I'm curious where that comes from. You know, what is it that I see that you're so passionate about it? You're equally as passionate about your idea, which is so different than mine. I wanna understand that. I really wanna understand where you're coming from. And I guarantee when we come from a space of authentic, honest curiosity, for this, like, what is, like, we're living in a great mystery. We don't know really where we came from. We don't know what gave birth to the universe. We only know so much about the universe. There's so much more to yet discover. What are we going to be in 100 years from now? You know, we don't know what happens when we die. We have ideas, we have stories, but we don't really know. So we live those questions. We live in the inquiry. We live with the invitation of deep curiosity. All of this. And when we stay connected to curiosity and the excitement of that exploration of ourselves and others, I think that it invites us into a conversation that can only really come from compassion. I'm curious about you. I want to feel and understand you. You know, I want to explore where this is coming from and why we have different ideas. How do we see the world so differently? What's the root of that? You know, it just keeps inviting more and more questions. And I really believe, like, living the questions is like one of the most passionate ways that we can live.
Exactly.
You know, all of these books behind me, all the things that we're talking about, every single interview in the summit, all the festivals and the, you know, everything I've ever put together, it's all about, like, let's get into the questions. Let's be curious about who we are. You know, and so I think when we approach that, especially this, what feels like this impasse right now, you know, people are just calling names and they're just so angry and they're not listening, you know, but at the heart of deep listening is curiosity, right? It's all right there. So I think that, you know, if we allow ourselves to be curious about everything in life, you know, it really, we create a different relationship with ourselves and with others, you know, and with our world. So I think that, and there's so much more to that too, but I feel like that's what wants to come through right now. The invitation is to just, how can I just tell us about it?
Well, I think curiosity, I mean, literally when you said that word, my hairs rise, you know, because I'm sure even Einstein, scientist, right, was cheering hearing that, because to him, a lot of people fear questions, like, how do we do this, right? But scientists love questions. It's not a how do we do this, it's how do we do this. They don't have the answer. It's all about how we relate, right? And curiosity is the gateway to what we don't know.
Yes.
It's a being in an embracing of not knowing, not being righteous about the other, or righteous about what's possible, because sometimes we can't see evolution. Progress happens when something comes from the nothing to the something, from the formless to the form, we from the beyond, we don't know. Like you so perfectly said, it's all quite a mystery. But the only real place that progress, something new is if, that can come in, is in that open spaciousness of curiosity. Yes, it's been like that. We might not know the new bottle, but we have to invite the question.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's with the life progress, you know, the collective progress, and then the interpersonal in that spaciousness.
Absolutely. And you know, the beauty of this too is about really, like, how can we feel comfortable with not knowing?
Yes.
Because we never really know. We have stories and ideas and we have a vision of what we're creating, but we don't know what the next step is really going to look like for us. Unexpected things happen all the time and they will continue to happen. You know, life is full of unexpected moments. You know, we can't possibly know them all. And if we knew everything, what would be the point of living?
Exactly.
The point of living is to dance with the unknown and to be so just to be so, be such an, I don't know, and to embrace this great mystery, to embrace the not knowing and the unknown, and to live from that space. So when we wake up in the morning, we go, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what new thing I'm going to learn. I wonder what new opportunity I'm going to have to make a mistake and learn about myself deeper. You know, I wonder what that next quote unquote failure is going to, what kind of gold is going to be in that for me to move forward more powerfully. You know, I wonder, be in wonderment. Like we just, like children are, and like, what is this? I'm seeing everything for the first time. Being in the beginner's mind, you know, like really living in the space of the unknown and being comfortable with that, because that's what they're, that's what's here. That's the truth of it, you know? So when we can dance with that and feel like, I'm okay with just being in the curiosity for the next moment and knowing that I don't really know. And then as soon as we go like, I know it all, I've got it all, this is the exact story, this is what happens when you die, this is the little man in the cloud, this. It actually can become dangerous when we become so incredibly attached to a story where we know it. We're done. There's no room for growth. There's no room for curiosity. There's no room for the romance of the mystery of life. There's no room to contemplate the stars and ourselves within that context. There's no room for curiosity in another person's opinion, because if you don't believe what I believe, we're done.
Yes.
And I think that is what we're seeing happen in our world in a big way too right now, which is why it feels so dangerous. It feels so dangerous because there's those of us going, come on, let's dance. And there's others going, nope, this is the absolute way. And if you don't believe it, then you're fake news, you know, or whatever, you know, cliche I can throw out right now. But like, there it is. You know, how can we be so comfortable in the curiosity and the unknown and just dance with that? Let life be a romance. Mm-hmm. Let us live the poetry of the great mystery, you know, and from that space, make choices in our lives and make mistakes and yell and scream and go, sorry, that's not really what I meant. So what I really meant is, I'm curious what you really feel, because I love you and I ultimately want us to connect and I ultimately want harmony. And I know you want that too. So how do we listen to each other deeply and create that together? You know, your beloved, you know, the person that seems politically opposed to you, you know, like whatever it is and whoever it is, like how can we get past the I know it all into the dance, into the poetry, into the romance of life?
You know, and it seems like you're talking about some sort of blind faith, but in fact, I feel you're aligning people more with reality. What you're saying to me is so hopeful, because when I look at life, how life happens, that's actually the logic of life. Life isn't stagnant, it's this way and that's it. Life is evolutionary.
Yes,
and one, if we can know something, if we can know a fact about life, is that we don't know what's around the corner. And something is evolving and we can look at it. And there's so many of us that are very, very educated and well-versed and steeped into the social and environmental circumstances that actually feel more hopeful than ever, because we're not just tuning into those stories, we're tuning into the entire story. First of all, we know that something's evolving. You know, a friend of mine is in media and social media, and he's in Sundance right now, the Sundance Film Festival that's happening. Yes. And he shared by live video this morning that he's so excited, because just a few years ago when he would go to Sundance, there was, you know, it was mostly Hollywood entertainment type films being played and programs, entertainment, Hollywood. And there would be like the one token event, one night, that was focused more on socially relevant issues, you know, environmental issues, right? And he said that the entire festival this year is basically 100% on social and environmentally relevant issues. Uh-huh. There is so much beauty unfolding. There is all of this, the president, all of that. It's actually a tremendous gift that's causing a rising, the next wave of rising, that's going to create evolution. So rather than sticking into the story, this is what I'm hearing you say, that we're doomed, we're gloomed, this is all I see, let that go. dance with life. Notice how life happens. And yes, things sometimes get rocky on purpose to call us, but there seems to be this evolutionary impulse that wants to ride through us. And if we can let go enough of that fear, doom, gloom story that the media likes to put into us and make space for life to work through us and be in that poetic dance. I'm just dancing with your words right
now. Yes, yes.
Right? So this is actually logic to me.
This is absolutely logic.
This is not blind faith.
No, this is evolution. And you know, as an ecologist, like a deep ecologist, you know, both like straddling, you know, the arts and the sciences, bringing it all together in this beautiful way, evolution happens with the greatest amount of pressure, forces a species to either evolve and move into a new way of being in this world and what we're being called for, or die.
Yes.
And this is our moment. This is our moment. Okay, this is it. This is living in this moment of choice and how we move forward. And again, those of you that have been here, you know, throughout the summit, you've heard this idea of deep time, excuse me. So we're not just talking about, like, you know, this year, right? We're talking about this deep span of time. Because things happen slowly in evolution, even though it seems to be accelerating right now, it really does. But this great invitation now is like, what's happening in our world is creating the greatest amount of pressure for the speciation, which means this sort of shift in what it means to be human. How we're showing up as a human right now is kind of shifting in a new way, culturally speaking, right? It's not so much a physical shift that's happening in us as it is the shift of awareness, self-awareness, self-reflexive consciousness, okay? With this is what we've been talking about in so many ways throughout the summit. And so we're being invited into that right now in the most powerful way. And that's why we keep seeing these amazing articles coming out from the greatest thought leaders of our time, talking about how what we're witnessing is our shadow. What we're witnessing is a great invitation for us to recognize ourselves. What we're recognizing, you know, what we're given is this opportunity for us to literally become so activated and aware and present and ask the deeper questions and start paying attention. And don't you dare go back to business as usual, because business as usual is what created this in the first place.
Yes.
Right? So we've got half, you know, not even half, right? Half the population of the US trying to, you know, go to back to like the extreme of business as usual. And the other half is going, we cannot possibly go back to that draconian way of being. Like, we have to move into this next paradigm. This is the great global shift. This is the great paradigm shift. This is the great turning that we've been talking about. You know, one of my mentors, Joanna Macy, really works with this term, the great turning. So many of us do, you know, which this is that moment. We have the great unraveling happening faster and harder. And it feels scary. You know, it's all happening right now, big time. And the great turning, and it's all happening simultaneously right now.
Yes.
And the great thing is, and one of the reasons for me putting the summit together with all of these incredible visionaries, including you, Shirley, is because we get this on the deepest level of our being. We're teaching it and sharing it from these different points of view, these slightly different ways that are incredibly complementary. And we're in this invitation in the most powerful way right now, so that we can start making active, you know, choices on how we are going to participate in this evolution. We're in it. We're totally, completely, fully immersed in it, whether you like it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, folks. And I know everybody who's here listening to this is obviously in it with us, you know. I wish, you know, we could get like a whole rest of the population who doesn't necessarily feel like this or think like this to listen deeply, you know, to some of these powerful, you know, wisdom teacher sharing from this deep place right now. I really do, you know, but it's important for us to continue teaching these concepts to those of us that are open to receiving it, so that we can all continue to go deeper, because we don't need everybody, right? We need a critical number, a critical mass. We need that number, that certain number, and we're increasing bigger, and then the shift starts to happen, and then wham, you know, we begin to move forward in a whole new way. And the things that we thought, like, you know, women not having rights or, you know, slavery issues and things like that, become the taboo.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't mean it's not still happening in our world. We all know it is. And that's a whole nother topic, very important. You know, but it shifts. It begins to shift. We all begin to shift, and our world moves forward then in a new way. So this moment is critical. You know, this moment is absolutely critical, and it is a great opportunity, an amazing, golden, passionate, powerful moment. So even though we're sitting with the fear and the danger and sadness, and our hearts are broken open, you know, in this wild space of questions, we are also given what we need right now to move forward in a new way.
Yes.
And that's why we're here.
I think what you said right now is it, that phrase, we are always being given right now, in this moment, what we need to move forward in a new way. And that's actually, to me, how this creative impulse, this creative evolutionary impulse, feeds through us in the present moment, guiding us step by step by step. We actually never know the entire staircase. And so it's actually all coming back, not to blind faith. You'll figure it out. This is actually how it works. We are guided step by step by step. And you are a living example of, on some intuitive place, in some intuitive way, you got that. So you were a 20-year-old who suddenly created a media company to promote, you know, animal justice, and became an activist without having the manual. You didn't study media, right? You didn't have the manual. You life spoke to you in a moment, do this, and one step at a time, you started to figure out. Then you started putting multi-speaker events together with hundreds of people. You didn't have the manual. One step at a time, you were shown, oh, now that step, now that step. Then you went on to create the Zen Cruise, right? Hello, what do you know about putting a cruise together and promoting to a global audience? Nothing. One step at a time. And so I just really wanted to highlight you as the perfect example of that, because I'm sure having placed the spotlight in this point in the conversation on this huge pivotal moment in history can also maybe make people like contract and like, well, what can I do in such a huge pivotal event? And so I wanted to really like redirect it right back to you as the messenger, your life as the message, because we are guided every step of the way. And I would love to hear what you have to say to that, because it is such a crucial moment that it could almost paralyze us because it's so scary, but it doesn't. So I would love to hear you speak to this.
Mm. I think what we're invited into in this moment is feeling inspired by each other. To feel inspired by each other, you know, and I think anybody who's listening right now, who's been part of the summit, you know, who's been excited to tune in to these amazing teachers. And the reason why I always, so many of the times, like I do, you know, God, you know, I do a lot of my own teaching and workshops and, you know, individual work with people and all of this stuff. And I am so drawn to bringing so many of us together, because in no way do I know it all. I have my unique contribution. I have my unique way of showing up. And I want to be with you, Shirley, and I want to be with Parker Palmer and Brian Swim and Carolyn Baker and Jennifer Gray, all these amazing people. Like, I want to be together with all of us, because together we're synergizing. We're raising and lifting each other up. We're empowering each other to be great. You know, to me, there's no such thing as competition. Not really. You know, the earth works in a very symbiotic way. Everything is there to support each other. Even when it feels like competition, it's really about supporting the greater movement of life. And so, you know, showing up right now in a way where we are just focused on living our gifts. So let me start there first. It is absolutely crucial that we recognize that there's nobody like us. There's nobody like you in the entire world, and never has been, and there never will be. We are completely, completely unique from our DNA, you know, being born into this world, and everything that shaped us through our genetic history, which ultimately leads back and back and back and back to, like, you know, a very similar place, but has developed in its own unique way, right? Through our lineages, right? Here we are. So in a physical sense, we are completely unique. Then born into this world, to our parents, to our environment, to our schooling, to our peers, to our experiences, to our heartbreaks and our traumas and our unique ways that we have been shaped by life, because everything that we've experienced in this life has shaped us. Everything. And that's why the gratitude, even the most horrendous experiences which have sat with us and, you know, that we're still working through in many ways, because we're human and we're fragile as well, right? So, but all of it has been here to shape us into the person that we are right now in this moment, you listening to my words, me speaking these words right now. Completely unique. There can be 1,000 coaches sitting here right now, and every single one of us has a unique way of holding space, a unique energy, a unique language, right? A unique set of tools and knowledge from the work that we've studied, a unique wisdom in the way that we've synergized it and put it together, a unique way that we connect with our intuition in order to hold space for each other. Every single person is completely unique. And if somebody doesn't connect with the way that I hold space, I want to send them to you. I want to send them to that other person that may be the right person for them, because ultimately I just want us all to be like completely inspired to know our gifts and to know who we are in this world and show up so we can contribute to the great turning. And so it starts with that, recognizing that you are completely unique and the world is calling for you to show up right now, because there's nobody in the world who can bring it like you. And if you don't bring it, nobody can fill that niche. No one can fill it. There's nobody that can do it. So we need you. We totally need you to show up in your way. And you're going to find a unique set of, let's say, you know, clients or friends or tribe or whatever it is that you do in the way that you do it, that's going to connect with you. You know, here, like, here's in a silly way. Like, I love when people unsubscribe from my list. Yes. I love it. I'm like, awesome. Go find who you need to connect with. I want that for you. And I want the people that connect with me to stay with me, and let's rock this. Let's do it this way, you know? And you speak it out too. So it's like, we can't take it personally. We just have to open ourselves up to the unique people that hear things in the way that we do. And then that becomes our tribe. Now we can inspire each other. So trust in your uniqueness. Trust in the way that you are showing up and the gifts that you have and the way that you bring it, because the world needs you so much right now. And that's why being in service to the world is bigger than you. That's why, even with your fears and the things that you're, you know, even in the ways that you feel scared, you know, like, you still need to figure it out and show up and do the inner work in whatever way you need to do it right now. We all need to do it. I'm doing it. Shirley's doing it. Like, we're all doing it. We continually do it, because it's like, it's a continuing conversation. We're always doing that inner work so we could show up more powerfully in our outer world. That's why the work of psychosynthesis speaks to me so deeply, because it's inviting us into that inner work. And the work of cosmology and social and environmental and political activism speaks to me so dearly, because it's how we're showing up in a larger way. All of it needs to be present simultaneously in whatever way that means. So know your gifts, trust in yourself in that way, and show up powerfully. You know, I think that's the beginning. That's the first step. And when you do, you will not only feel your own inner sense of inspiration and be totally inspired in your own work from yourself. You're going to inspire yourself, you know, but the way that you show up so honestly and authentically with your unique voice is going to inspire so many people in ways that you will never know. That conversation in a restaurant with your friend, someone overheard, went and looked something up online, and it set them on a journey that completely changed their life. We affect people in ways that we do not know, just simply by being ourselves. And that's the second part of our realization in this moment, that we show up as in and of ourselves and do that inner work so that we can be the best, most powerful us that we can be, because we create a ripple effect in our world and ultimately collectively engage in transformation, one of those beautiful powers of the universe that moves us forward evolutionarily. In our evolution, our conscious evolution. So there it is, like, inspiration, trust.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you're really, for some reason, this is just really coming up a lot in me today as I'm hearing you talk. You're not bringing forth some motivational, inspirational poetry. As I'm hearing your words, you're literally talking facts of life, how life works. And you just named two principles of, we can call them principles of life, that life kind of knows what it's doing. And every every piece has its role, right? Every little bee on this planet has its role. I mean, if one of the most fundamental roles, but I want to just use the bees as an example just to like really affirm what I hear you saying. No bee is like, but I'm just a little bee. What can I do? You know? No, by you doing just your little simple self buzz thing, you're saving the planet, right? Einstein said that if the bees disappear, we're gone in 4 years, right? Something like this.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this the other day. You know what? Our country runs not just on the president, but the janitor who cleans the federal building. Every piece, just like every butterfly and bird has a purpose in this. When you study nature, you see that even the plants going around each other, they have these collaborative, supportive purposes. They're not trying, the little bush is not trying to be the tree. It's just allowing itself to be itself.
Yes.
And when you're yourself, you're your most powerful. You're not trying to be something else. That little bush can try to be the tree and he's going to exert all this energy, never going to happen. Feel bad about itself, where it could just be the bush. And what is the bush? Maybe the bush is just you. You suddenly just get an idea. Wow, I would love to see a panel talk about this thing. I'm scared of speaking in public. I'm not going to do it, but maybe I'll plant the seeds in some people that I know and they do it, right? Just following that impulse of what comes to you. Like you said, trusting you, who you are, and not only that you're enough, but you're exactly like every bee and bush, exactly how and where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
And I feel like that leads so beautifully into what the next thing you said, because when we are accepting and trusting of ourselves and allowing ourselves to be, our energetics are going to be different, and you know, ripple just in our being. There's another person living in love, living calmly, living service, you know?
Yes.
And even that's logic. Science has proven that we're in a field that we all are connected to. So again, you're really speaking to just pure facts of life that we need to wake up to. That self-thinking, let's wake up to the realities of how things are. Do nothing to feel bad about where or how you are. Embrace yourself fully. Be yourself. Be your gifts in the best way you can. And then show up lovingly each and every day. Because even that's going to have a ripple. I mean, you're powerful, honey.
Oh, honey. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's, you know, awaken to wholeness. This has been our journey, right? Awaken to wholeness. Awaken to ourselves. The deepest sense of what it means to be you. To what it means to be human.
Yeah.
What it means to be part of a, you know, universe story. Right? What it means to be part of an earth community, right? Awaken to wholeness. You know, this is our, this is it. This is what we're invited into right now. So it feels, you know, it feels really good for us to be just in this right now. Like everything is here. Everything is here. It's so important. You know, life is a great experiment. It really is. You know, life is always experimenting. It's experiment in the sense like the intelligence of the universe is experimenting with different life forms. Oh, what's this? An eye. I want to see myself. So I'm going to create an eye. Here, like, how can I make that better? How can I make that better? You know, like it's constantly experimenting. You know, and so we are too. You know, our life is a great experiment. We're constantly experimenting with ourselves and the ways that we're showing up and what really brings us to life. You know, and that's an important question. You know, what brings you to life? What makes you feel so alive that you just like resonate with your whole body, this incredible feeling of love and life and presence, and you're just so excited to be here and everything feels aligned? You know, what are you doing when you feel that? Where are you when you feel that? You know, these are great places to start understanding ourselves on a deeper level. You know, our own sense of wholeness. It's just, there's so much, you know, we could talk about this forever, but I think we're really capturing the heart of it right here, Cheryl. I do. And I want to like, I got to do this right now.
I'm sorry. I just had to like lift that light. It was too much. Sorry.
But yeah, you know, this is it.
This is it. It's our personal wholeness that we actually are whole already. And rather than focusing on to fix ourselves, no, how am I whole already? Who am I? What is my gift to bring, right? Coming from wholeness and then also realizing our collective wholeness.
Yeah.
I'm all part of something bigger, and how am I here to serve that? That's what I'm hearing you say right now. What more powerful questions?
Absolutely. You know, I'm feeling into just the importance, you know, like of this moment and how precious life is. You know, it's been an incredible journey. You know, even creating the summit and moving through the summit and holding space for all of us, and just, you know, I'm feeling called to share like the experience of my last month, because I feel like it matters, because it's really alive in me and it's really moved in me, and this is what I got from it. So some may realize, but probably most don't, that in the last few weeks, one of my best friends in the world died of cancer. And some of my interviews were this, you know, outside with Drew Dellinger and with Brian Swim and Melissa Binkley. You know, those three interviews were this beautiful, you know, outside landscape. I was sitting outside of her house. I was with her, you know, in the last few weeks. And so while I'm doing these interviews and I'm holding this space, I'm also deeply present with, you know, my sister's end of her life, you know, and it's been a really, it's just been a really heartbreaking, heart-opening experience, because being in the space of surrender with her, you know, while having these incredibly deep conversations, and then she passed away, you know, right before my interview with Brian Swim, like all of that was happening simultaneously, has just created such a sense of intimacy for me around the importance of this moment and how incredibly precious every moment is. Life is so precious, bringing me into more intimacy when we talk about, you know, being in the mystery of life. What happens when we die with our bodies and our energy, and like, what is this great mystery that we're dancing in? What does it mean to live a full life? How can we show up and just breathe in every moment as an incredible gift? You know, all of that has been so, so present for me in this. And I feel like this whole entire summit for me is like for her and everything that she has been for me in my life, and what even being with her towards the end has opened up for me, and how like my commitment to living my own life so much more fully and so much more heart open and present and in love, like it's just deepened me in so many ways, you know. And I just felt called to share that right now, because I feel like I just want us all to feel into the precious moments that make up our lives, and how incredibly important it is for us to live so fully and to embrace our holy selves in every sense of that, you know, and to be in love with each other, because we don't know how long we have in this life. We don't know any of it. We can only be in the mystery of it and just be in love with each other in every moment, and live from that space and love from that space. And it begins within. It begins with honoring and loving ourselves so deeply. You know, I can't tell you how many times in workshops that I've given that people have come up to me afterward and said, you know, I basically thank you for giving me permission to own my gifts and to be able to say them out loud, because I haven't felt like I've been able to do that. You know, it's felt like, am I coming from an egotistical place? What are people going to think of me? How am I going to be judged? You know, and I'm here to just say, like, throw it all out. Know who you are, live who you are, fall in love with yourself on every level, and just embrace it all, even the messy parts, you know? Be in it. Be in the complete beautiful mess of life, you know, and let it move you, let it inspire you into your greatness. This is it, guys. This is our one beautiful, wild life. How are you going to live it? How are you going to be in sacred service to yourself, to your family, to your children, to your beloveds, to your friends, to the people that you don't even, that you think are best enemies and are opposition? Like, how can you be in service to everyone? How can we be in service to this earth? You know, how can we be in service to the greater vision of what we're being called for right now? That's it. That's it for all of us, you know, to ask that question. How can I serve?
How can I serve?
I'll tell you, Shirley, I had a vision for this, you know, and started putting it together, and things unfold in their own ways, no matter what we envision, you know. And it's been so inspiring to me. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, like thousands and thousands of you beautiful beings around this world have felt into this call and have said yes and signed up to be part of this journey. And I know that it's overwhelming and there's over 20 hours of interviews, and I guarantee you all haven't been able to watch everything. You know, obviously we have our upgraded paths, whatever, you know, but it's here, you know, and I hope that you've been at least able to watch the ones that you are called more deeply into, because there's so much here. But I am so inspired by how many people have said yes and how many people have been writing to me privately and posting in our Facebook group and, you know, sending me messages in every form and way, you know. It's been so inspiring because it just brings me into that word that we talked about a little bit earlier, this word, it's hope. Hope. You know, because the ground of everything that we are living in this moment is hope. We get up in the morning because we have hope for our world. You know, we are engaged in how can I serve because we have hope for our world. You know, we are falling in love with life and giving ourselves this deeper sense of hope. We have so much right now, right here. You know, and what a blessing it is to be alive in this moment, to be part of this great continued experiment of life, you know, to really be with all of you on this journey. It's about community. You know, none of us can do it alone. We all need to do it, but we also need each other. And that's why my work is so focused on building community and inviting us together as community, because we are so much more powerful when we come together. So we're here. We're all here. Every single one of you that said yes, that is here right now listening to this interview, you know, that you're here all the way through it. You know, we're here. This is our community. This is our tribe, and it's going to continue growing. And there's other tribes all over the world just like this, totally engaged, totally empowered, and all of us with the same heart and the same intention, the same centered feeling and experience of hope. Yes. And now it's time to live it.
Exactly.
And that's it right there. That's it.
Mm. Yeah. You just spoke through the beautiful, perfect elements, the inspiration that comes from your gifts, community, and action. Mm. And if we all love those three in a space of love, things will happen. Yeah. Take one of those out of the equation, it gets bumpy. So let's all hold those four elements, right?
Yes. There it is.
Beautiful.
And I think that's a wonderful way for us to wrap this up and bring it together and just like feel fully inspired, breathe it in. Inspiration, breathing in that spirit, you know, allowing ourselves to be totally, fully like alive with life. The inner and the outer world, totally ignited, totally ablaze, totally impassioned, wrapped up in the poetry of this beautiful moment. There it is. We are here. We have come. to be danced. So I want to thank you. Thank you so much, Shirley, for holding space for me and for us. And I think to everybody who has said yes, yes, and, you know, been part of this journey, you know, we're going to continue, you know, we're just going to keep it going. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. It's always just the beginning. I love saying that because it really is, like, there's so much more to come.
Not to mention all the interviews have been so rich. But in and of themselves to be listened to
again. Over and over. Absolutely. There's so much. I keep doing it. I keep listening. I keep tuning in. Like, oh, so good.
Thank you for putting this field together. You know, I can only imagine the ripple it's already having, and it will. And just really important now more than ever. So thank you, beautiful.
Thank you, sister. I love you.
Everyone.
Yeah.